Let's bow before Almighty Yahweh. Father, we come before you today. We thank you for all the wonderful things you've given us and for the blessings that you've so generously given. We pray that the words spoken would be uplifting, would convict us, would open our eyes to your word. We also thank you for the Feast of Tabernacles we just came from, the fellowship, the unity that we were blessed with is because of you, Father. We know this. So we thank you for that, and we thank you for all those who worked hard to make this time a blessing for those who were there. We also thank you for the blessings of this ministry, everything going on here, the building and the response and all that you've done for this ministry over the years. We pray that you'd be with us always and to strengthen us and give us wisdom and discretion. Allow us to always follow you fully. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to welcome you all here. Certainly a blessing to be here. So before I get into my message, I want to thank a few people. Number one, as you see here, the building is expanding. I like, though, how Brother Javon put that. This is a camp, so we would appreciate everyone to stay in the camp. But we will soon have a fully-fledged dining room, fellowship hall, just adjacent to where we're at now. And I'd like to especially thank Brother Ryan and Deacon Terry for this, because they've worked very hard, and if not for their hard work and vision, we certainly would not have what we do today. So I'd like to take time to thank them and their continued efforts for this work. It's going to be a great facility and something we've needed for many years. So no more tearing apart the sanctuary, the meeting hall. We will have a dining hall separate. So it's going to be such a wonderful blessing. Also like to take a few moments and thank all those who made the feast a special time. It was certainly a great feast. Of course, the facilities were wonderful. I think everybody, you know, over the years, I typically, people give the good and the bad. And sometimes there's more negative than positive. And this year, there wasn't really too many negative remarks, especially with the facilities. I mean, they were just wonderful. And everybody pitched in and helped. The camp was wonderful, I think. And I anticipate a great feast next year. But I'd like to thank Sister Dreema and Linda. And I'm going to forget a few people. But I just want to thank everybody who really made the feast special, because it is a lot of hard work. I know this. And, of course, Brother Steve, he's not with us today, but he will be back soon. But I'd also like to publicly thank Brother Steve, because without him, I'm not sure what we would do. He is out the door by 7:30 a.m., by the way, and he does not quit until noon, and even then he stays busy throughout the afternoon. So Steve really is a blessing and such an asset to the ministry, and especially during the feast. So I'd like to thank Steve, and also Debbie, if nothing else, for sacrificing her husband for 8 days. But she does a lot as well, so I'd like to thank everybody who was a part of that and made that possible. Our message this Sabbath is, tithing, do we really trust Yahweh? You know, tithing is more than a command. I believe that tithing is also a show of our faith and trust and reliance in our Father in heaven. The question is, do we have faith to give to Yahweh what belongs to him, knowing that he in turn will bless us? And that's really the crux of the issue. Do we have enough faith, do we have enough trust to give what belongs to him, knowing that he's going to see us through? So today I want to focus on the first tithe. That's going to be the focus. But before that, I want to talk a little bit about the second tithe. Every year before the feast, we always have people coming to us and saying, I just can't make it this year. Typically the excuse is for lack of funding. Well, you know, Yahweh, some of you may know this, some of you may not. Yahweh's given us a method to guarantee that we have funding for the feast days. I want to look at that for just a few moments. It's called the second tithe. We find this in Deuteronomy 14:22. I'm going to read verse 22 and also 24 through 26. It says, thou shalt surely tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field brings forth year by year. Now remember that Israel was an agricultural society. This was their monetary wealth. And if the way be too long for thee, so that you are not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which Yahweh the Elohim shall choose to set his name there, when Yahweh the Elohim hath blessed thee, Then thou shalt turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shall go unto the place which Yahweh the Elohim shall choose. And thou shalt bestow thy money for whatever thy soul lusts after. So I want you to notice two things here. Number one, the second tithe is for the believers, for the worshipers. In other words, it's not holy to Yahweh. We're going to find later that the first tithe is holy to Yahweh. This is not true with the second tithe. The second tithe is for the worshipers, for the believer. And number two, this second tithe had a very special purpose. The purpose of the second tithe was to ensure that the worshiper had adequate funding for the feast. So in other words, there's really no reason in the world we should be saying we don't have the funding for the feast. Because Yahweh says to do this to make sure that we have the funding for the feast. Now, some have asked, is this command still relevant today? Should we be doing this today? And the answer is yes. And the reason I say that is, obviously, if people are still coming to us and saying they can come, well, obviously, there's still a purpose for this second tithe. The need is still here today. So this is something we should be doing as believers. In addition to the first tithe, which we'll talk about in just a moment, we should also be saving back a second tithe. Now, again, this is not holy to Yahweh. This does not belong to him. This belongs to us. This is to ensure that we have adequate funding to attend his feast days. You know, those who do this, I will say this, they have a better time at the feast. It's never good to not come with insufficient funding because we're not prepared. You know, people, they save for vacations. Most people do this if they know they're going to go somewhere, they're going to save for that trip. They're going to make sure that they have adequate funding to enjoy that trip. Well, this is the same thing. Yahweh is saying, save 10% so that you will have adequate funding when you come to worship before me. So I would encourage everybody to do this here. Look, nothing is greater than worshiping Yahweh during his feast days. And it's always sad to see people saying they can't come because of finances, especially when Yahweh has put in place a method to ensure that that does not happen. Again, the feasts offer times of worship, spiritual rejuvenation, and fellowship with like-minded believers. And there's really nothing like it. I know for Tabernacles, when we say this often, we say it's a taste of the kingdom. And I truly do believe it is. It's as close as we're going to get today to the kingdom to spend 8 days with those of like faith in a wilderness setting outside of the world. And it's so important for that reason that we're there. Listen, not only is this a command, but again, it also has benefits for us. So again, I would encourage everybody here and those listening to save your second tithe, to make ready. Do it right now because, again, these feasts are coming around the corner. They're going to be here before we know it. 6 months from now, we're going to have Passover and Unleavened Bread. A few months after that, we're going to have Tabernacles. And between those two times, we have Pentecost and some of the other feasts. So it is an important concept, and we don't talk about it often, but it is something as believers we should be striving to do, to put money back to ensure that we have adequate funding for the feast days. I'd like to move on and talk about the first tithe and begin with Malachi 3, verse 8. I normally save this for the end, but I'm going to open up with this. Malachi 3, verse 8 through 11 says, will a man rob Elohim? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherewith have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And meat, there's food, is what it means, food, it's old English. And prove me now, herewith, saith Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke and the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of the ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith Yahweh of hosts. So what do we find in the book of Malachi? What message do we see here? Yahweh here reprimands Israel for robbing him. How are they robbing him? Or it says here that they were not giving their tithes and offerings. This is how they were robbing him. They were not giving what was due to him. As we're going to see this, tithe is holy, holy. The Hebrew, as we'll discuss, is kodesh. It means something set apart, sacred. So that's what the tithe is, holy to Yahweh. And for this reason, it's not within our discretion to choose how we're going to use this. In other words, we can't ignore it. We can't disregard it. We can't use it in other ways. Yahweh says that this is holy to him, and this is a command. Now, I know this topic is a bit uncomfortable for some people, especially those who aren't tithing and probably know better. They know different. But, you know, it's important that we understand this. Yahweh says that when we forgo the tithe, we are robbing him. We're taking what belongs to him. Now, think about this. The eighth commandment says that we're not to steal. This is the eighth commandment. When we don't tithe, not only are we withholding what is holy or kodesh to our Father in heaven, we are also stealing, breaking the eighth commandment. And I know that sounds harsh, but it really is that way. When we are not giving what belongs to Yahweh, we are taking what belongs to him. Thus, we are stealing his portion. Now, understand, I'm not preaching about this to enrich the ministry. I know there's some people that always say, you know, look, they're talking about tithing again. We're not preaching this to enrich the ministry. I'm speaking about this because this is an important part of worship. This is holy. This is Kodesh to our Father in heaven. When we withhold our tithe, Yahweh says again that we're robbing him. Understand that as a minister, as a pastor here, I don't want to see anyone guilty of robbing our Father in heaven. And this is really the reason I'm giving this message, because I care for those in this room. I don't want to see anyone guilty of this crime. Now, for those who do tithe or plan to begin tithing, notice what he says in verse 10. This is an important passage. It says, prove me now herewith, says Yahweh of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it. So he promises here blessings for those who make an effort to give what belongs to him, to those who tithe. You know what's amazing is that I've seen a pattern in the last 19 years in the ministry. I've been ordained for, what, about 9 years now. And prior to that, about 10 years, I was very active in the ministry. And during that time, I've seen a pattern. Normally, those who tithe are blessed. Normally, those who don't tithe always struggle financially. And I've seen it time and time and time again. Now, that doesn't mean it's true in all cases, but more likely than not, those who don't tithe are struggling. And I do believe partially this is the promise we find within the Word. Yahweh says, if you do this, I'm going to bless you. He says, if you don't, he says, I'm not going to. It's amazing, those who tithe, I've heard so many testimonies, they've come to me and they've said, you know, somehow, for some reason, I never have to worry about money. Yahweh makes it happen. And I do believe that. And yet, when we don't have trust, we don't give what belongs to him, we do struggle. So I do believe that I've seen this trend in my 19 years of ministry, that those who don't tithe struggle, while those who do tithe, while those who do place their faith in Yahweh, they don't struggle. They're blessed. Now, understand that this is not meant as a health, wealth, and prosperity message. I know there's ministers out there that they say if you give that $52 seed that you're going to be blessed with $1,000. It doesn't work that way. But what this does mean is that if we do tithe and give what belongs to Yahweh, he promises that he's going to help us with our basic provisions. And I do believe that he will do this. I do believe that if we do tithe and give what belongs to Yahweh, that he's going to help us with those basic provisions, that we're not going to have to worry about homes and cars. That doesn't mean we're not going to struggle. But again, what that does mean is he's going to bless us and help us with those things. Again, I've seen the trend. I've seen it work throughout 19 years. And it's always worked for me. I've tithed since a teenager. And it's always, Yahweh's blessed me in so many great ways. And I do believe, in part, that's because I've tried my best to give what belongs to him. Now, some might say, I wish I could tithe, but I simply can't. Now, listen, I know it's not always easy. I know there are people struggling out there, and I was going to use this later, but I've known people to make less than $400 a month and still tithe and still pay their bills. So I know it can happen. I know if we strive and if we want to follow the will of Yahweh, that it can happen. And that's why I titled this message with trust. Do we have enough trust? Do we have enough faith in our Father in heaven to rely on him? To know that he says in his word that if you do this, then I'm going to pour out blessings upon you. We find how important faith is in Hebrews 11 verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to Elohim must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So if we're going to please Yahweh, what must we do? What must we do as believers? Or it says here that we must have faith in him. Now, what does it mean to have faith? Or number one, we must believe that he is, as we find in Scripture, and also that he can deliver or fulfill his promises. That's what faith means, that we believe in Yahweh, that we believe that he's an actual being, that he is a supreme ruler, the Elohim of this universe, and that he can deliver upon everything he says within his word. You see the connection here between this and what we find in Malachi. You know, there in Malachi, Yahweh said what? He says, prove me. He says, prove me by giving what belongs to me. You know, this is nothing more than him saying, have faith in me. And those who don't have faith by not tithing, they're essentially saying that I don't believe in you enough to give what belongs to you. That I need to hold back that 10% to make sure that I have adequate funding for whatever it is. But Yahweh says, you give it to me. He says, prove me. And he says, when you do this, you're going to be blessed. And I do believe that's a promise we find within his word. So you see, when we withhold our tithe, we're again showing a lack of faith. And what does Yahweh say about faith? He says it's impossible to please him if we don't have faith, if we really don't believe. And again, faith is not simply this verbal confession. It's similar to what I tell people with baptism. When I sit down with people with baptism, I say, look, I said, you must repent. And I said, repentance is not just a verbal confession. Repentance is not just verbally saying, Yahweh, I'm sorry, I've made my mistakes. No, repentance is thinking differently, acting differently, doing a 180. That's what repentance is within the word. And that's what we find with tithing. Tithing is not just simply saying, I want to tithe, or faith, I want to believe. No, faith is doing those things, showing Yahweh that we believe in him. We find this in James. James says that he showed his faith by his works. In the same way, when we tithe, we show our faith by what we do. We show Yahweh that we do believe in you. When you say in your word that you're going to bless me, that you're going to open up the windows of heaven, I believe. And again, this is not a health, wealth, and prosperity message. I want to make sure that that is understood. Because I am very opposed to this whole health, wealth, and prosperity movement. Nowhere does Yahweh's word promise riches and wealth in this life. What he does, though, promise is provision for our needs. And we, as believers, should be satisfied with those basic provisions. If we're not, we're missing the mark. Yahweh says to be satisfied with the basic necessities of life. Now, I, for one, don't want to convey to my Father in heaven that I have a lack of faith because I refuse or I ignore this command. And again, as a minister and a pastor here at this ministry, this is the reason I'm giving this message. It's not that we're looking to get rich here, but I care for each and every person in this audience and those listening. And I want to make sure that as believers that we're doing all things that are pleasing to him. And what I'm saying today is that when we're not doing this as believers, we're falling short. And we're showing a lack of faith. Now, for those who are not tithing, I want to give you a challenge. And that challenge is this. Step out of faith and give what belongs to Yahweh. Give that 10%. Understand, again, that this is a form of worship. You know, tithing is no different from the Sabbath or feast days. It's all part of worship as Kodesh. Anything Kodesh, I spoke about that during the tabernacles. I spoke about maintaining holiness, maintaining Kodesh, maintaining that which was set apart according to Yahweh's word, where this is no different. Let's look at the actual command of tithing. Leviticus 27, 30 through 32 says, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is Yahweh's. So notice that everything belongs to Yahweh. Nothing belongs to us. Matter of fact, when the Israelites inherited the land, if you read the account, it's almost as if Yahweh was leasing the land to them. It was not their land, it was Yahweh's land. He was allowing the Israelites to dwell in that land, but it was not their land. Where here we find the same thing, that this is Yahweh's land. It says it is holy unto Yahweh. And if a man will let at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth or 20%, he says, fifth part thereof. And so concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto Yahweh. So notice here that he defines a tithe as holy to him. This is such an important concept to understand as a believer. The word holy comes from the Hebrew word kodesh. Kodesh. And it refers to something sacred, again, or set apart. Again, this is no different from the Sabbath. The Sabbath is holy as Kodesh. The feast days are holy Kodesh. Using and respecting, not using his name in vain, as holy or Kodesh. Because it is Kodesh, it belongs to Yahweh. And it's not within our discretion to determine whether or not we're going to give this or whether or not how we will use it. It belongs to him. Now, the word tithe is from the Hebrew mahaseir and literally means a tenth. Some people say, how do you know the amount? Or in the Hebrew, it defines the amount through the Hebrew word, a tenth. So within the Hebrew, we find Yahweh defining the amount that we are to provide to him. Let me ask, is this command any less important than any other? Is this less than the Sabbath or feast days? You know, I know a lot of people who would like to believe that this is more of a recommendation than a command. But believe me when I say that this carries the same weight and obligation as any other command within his word. And as I'm going to talk about later, I do believe it does show our heart. It shows our conviction. It shows our commitment to him. And we're going to see an example of that later. For this reason, those who knowingly ignore the tithe are in violation of his word. Again, I know giving 10% of our income is not easy. But again, this is not something we're commanding from the ministry. This is something that Yahweh commands within his word. And not only that, says that it is Kodesh. It is Yahweh who we dishonor when we forfeit or ignore this obligation. Let's now move on and look at some examples showing how the tithe was applied. The first example traces back some 1,900 years before the Messiah and 500 years before Sinai. You know, there are some people out there who say that tithing was something that was connected with the Levitical priesthood. And that since we're not now under the Levitical priesthood, that it's no longer applicable. Well, I'm going to show you why that's not the case. Genesis 14, verse 18. Genesis 14, verse 18 through 20 says, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was a priest. He was a priest of the Most High El." So notice the priest, and this was long before Levi, or the Levites. "And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High El, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he, Abram, gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all." Now, there are several things here I want to point out. Number one, we find an established priesthood long before Moses, long before Mount Sinai. From the book of Hebrews, we know that Yahshua too is part of the Melchizedek priesthood. So this is a priesthood that really predates. I believe that this is the original priesthood, the priesthood, again, that we're part of now through Yahshua the Messiah, the Melchizedek priesthood. So some people, again, say that we're not to tithe because we're not under the Levitical priesthood. We find here that Abram's tithing under what priesthood? The Melchizedek priesthood, not the Levitical priesthood. This predates the Levitical priesthood by 500 years. So who was this Melchizedek? You know, Scripture is vague as to who this man was, or even what this man was. Some say that he was a spirit being. Some say that he was Seth. Scripture is really unclear as to who this man was. We find a description in the book of Hebrews, which we'll read in just a few moments. But we really don't know who he was. We only know that he was king of Salem, it says, and priest of Yahweh. He was a priest under the Melchizedek priesthood 500 years before the Levitical priesthood would exist. So again, I want to emphasize that we find here an established priesthood some 500 years before Moses. And tithing was part of this priesthood. It says here that Abram gave a tenth or a tithe of all. Let me ask, all of what? It's important to understand what he was tithing on, because some people have this impression or this idea that tithing in the Old Testament was limited to livestock and produce. So what do we find here? Where Abram just returned from battle. He's tithing here spoils from war. I just can't believe that this is only produce. He's tithing spoils of war. Now, this example is, again, important for two reasons. Number one, it shows that the Levitical priesthood was not first. It was in Melchizedek, and it was included tithing. And again, tithing is more than produce or livestock, as some claim. Now, how do we know this for sure? How do we know that this is talking about more than produce? And also, how do we know that this is not referring to an offering? Some people will try to make that claim, that this is simply referring to an offering. Well, I think we find evidence for that or against that in Hebrews 7, 4 through 10. Hebrews 7, 4 through 10. It says, "Now consider how great this man was," and this is speaking about Abraham or Abram at the time. It says, "Unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils, and verily they are they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law." So there it is. As part of the law, they were commanded by Yahweh, because it is Kodesh, to receive tithes to the priesthood. That is, other brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham, but he, whose descent is not accounted from them, received tithes. In other words, this man was not a Levite. Again, he predates them by 500 years. Of Abraham, who blessed him, that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. And as men, and as I may so say, Levi also, who receives tithes, paid tithes to Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So notice here the connection between the tithe that Abraham gave to Melchizedek and the tithe that the Israelites gave to the Levitical priests. They're one and the same. There is no distinction. There is no contradiction. One is not an offering. The other is a tithe. We find here Scripture says that they are the same thing. They are equivalent. So this belief that Abraham only gave an offering is simply untrue. It does not fit Scripture. It is not provable through Scripture. What we find here is that the tithe that Abraham gave to Melchizedek is the same tithe that the Israelites were giving to the Levitical priests. Both received and had this obligation, both priesthoods. Now in Genesis 20, verse 20, we find a second example of tithing prior to the Levitical priesthood. And I think this account is special for more than one reason. I'll explain later, explain after I read it. It says, "And Jacob vowed a vow." So this is referring to Jacob, the grandson of Abraham, saying, "If Elohim be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall Yahweh be my Elohim, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be Elohim's house. And of all that thou shalt give me," listen, "I will surely give thee tenth," and the same word is used for tithe, "that tithe unto you." Now, this is an important passage, again, for more than one reason. Let me give you some background as to what we find here. Right before this, Jacob had a dream. And within that dream, he saw angels descending and ascending into heaven. Now, prior to this dream, Scripture indicates that Jacob was not fully converted. He was not fully committed to Yahweh. Matter of fact, when he spoke of Yahweh, he said, "The Elohim of my father." You see, he didn't connect it with himself, not until now. It wasn't until after this dream that Jacob was fully committed. I believe that there's evidence to support this conclusion. This can be seen also from the nature of the vow here. In verse 22, he says again, "Then shall Elohim, Yahweh be my Elohim," if he was not already. Why would he say, "Then shall Yahweh be my Elohim," if he was already? But he wasn't. He was not fully converted until he experienced this dream and Yahweh's supernatural provision. So we find here a turning point in Jacob's life. He is now fully and completely committed to Yahweh. Now notice what he does as part of this newfound faith. Notice what he pledges to do in response to this awakening, this commitment, this newfound faith again that he had for Yahweh. It says here that he promised to give a tenth or a tithe of all. So we find here that as a show of his devotion, of his newfound faith, he promised to tithe. Now remember that this is also prior to Moses. This is prior to the Levitical priesthood. This is still the Melchizedek priesthood. And again, I'll say one more time, this is the same priesthood that we're part of today. We are part of the Melchizedek priesthood, and tithes were received from both Abraham and Jacob under this same priesthood. We also again see that tithing is a sign of conversion, that we're completely committed to the one we worship. at this point, like his grandfather, and I'm sure his father before him, who taught him the principle of tithing. And, you know, on a side note, it's so important that as parents, we teach our children to tithe, because I do believe it is a multi-generational principle. I've noticed that those who don't tithe, neither do their kids and their grandkids after them. But those who do teach this important holy principle, not only do they, but their children and hopefully their children after them. And again, we don't say this because we're looking to fill the pocketbooks of this ministry. This is a holy obligation. And when we don't do it, as we found in Malachi, that we are robbing him of what is Kodesh. And again, I don't want to see that as a minister here. So it's a sign of conversion, as we find here. It's a barometer of a person's faith, of their dedication. I think that's a great lesson here we find through Jacob. Now, you've all heard me in the past say something to the effect of, Yahweh does nothing without purpose. Everything he does has meaning. Everything he does has a reason. So what is the purpose of tithing? Why did Yahweh give this command to tithe? Or surely it has a purpose. Surely it has a reason. Or it does, and we find that reason in Numbers 18, verse 24. Numbers 18, verse 24 says, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as heave offerings. And by the way, according to what I understand anyway, the heave offering, they would actually heave it up and down, and as a wave, it'd go side to side. And just as a side note there, but it says, a heave offering unto Yahweh, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore, I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. So it says here that the tithe belonged to the Levites. Why? Why did the tithe belong to them? Or because they had no inheritance? Why? Or because Scripture says that they belonged to Yahweh. You see, they were responsible to fulfill his worship. They were responsible to minister his word. We also know that they, for example, Ezra, would read and preach from the word, much like we do today. So many of the same responsibilities as we have now, they too had. We can find this again with the example of Ezra. So again, what was the purpose of the tithe? It was to provide for the needs of the ministry. This was the purpose. It was to provide for the needs of the ministry. You see, they could not work outside and still fulfill Yahweh's worship. And it's really that simple. So the purpose of the tithe was a way to provide for this need. Now, Nehemiah 13, and Nehemiah is such an important passage because it shows the impact of when we neglect this tithe. Nehemiah 13, verse 10. It says, and I perceive that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of Elohim forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil unto the treasuries. So we find here that Nehemiah was not real happy with the people. Why was this? Why was he displeased with Judah? What were they doing? Or maybe more importantly, what were they not doing? We find here that the Levites were going back to their own fields. Why? Why were they forced to go back to their own fields? Or you see, as a result of Judah not tithing, the Levites had no choice but to make a living. And to do this, what suffered? Or Yahweh's work suffered. You see, they were not there performing the work of Yahweh. And Nehemiah, he was not happy about this. So he brought the people together and he said, no, you will tithe. You will give what belongs to him. And we find at this point that the Levites were able to then fulfill their course. They were able to do their work that Yahweh appointed them to do. You know, one of the things I've noticed over the years is how the majority always benefits from the minority. And I don't think this will ever change. I think this is a pattern that will always exist. But I'm just hoping that we're not part of the problem. I'm hoping that we're not the minority or majority benefiting from the minority. What many don't understand is that nothing is free for a ministry like ours and like many others. Matter of fact, just as a quick side note, as speaking to a sister, Debbie, this week, and as she told me, I forget if it's three or four days, but in the last 3 or 4 days, we've spent over $1,000 in postage, just in the last 3 to 4 days, because of the literature we're sending out. So keep in mind that this is not free. It may be free to those. We try to provide as much as we can free of charge to those asking for literature, but it's not free. And also keep in mind that this doesn't include paper, this doesn't include time, employees, this doesn't include ink, this doesn't include many things that would only increase at expense of 3 to 4 days, $1,000 just in postage. If not for the very small group that is willing to tithe by supporting an assembly or a ministry like this one, believe me, it would not exist. Even though I'm a strong believer in freely giving, there is really nothing for free. There is nothing free for the ministry. Everything we do incurs a cost. Everything we do, including heating and cooling this building, providing a place of worship for those locals, providing all that we do for those non-local. If Yahweh's people would hear the call, the challenge of Nehemiah, there's no telling what we could accomplish. But again, we have to be willing to sacrifice. We must be willing to give what is Kodesh to Yahweh. We must be willing not to rob what belongs to Him. Now, in addition to what we find in the Old Testament, we also find evidence for the tithe in the New. So this is not just this Old Testament concept. For instance, Yahshua the Messiah spoke about the tithe in Matthew 23:23. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." Now listen to what he says. He says, "These ought you have done, or to have done, and not to leave the others undone." So what was Yahshua's response here to tithing? Or did he condemn the Pharisees and scribes for doing this? Did he say, "Look, you should really not be taking tithes of the people"? No, he said here that these things they should have done. So Yahshua here confirms the need to tithe. Yahshua never condemned this practice. Yahshua agreed with this commandment. Now, before moving on, I want to talk a little bit about what Yahshua pointed out here, the greater lesson. You know, you can't read Matthew 23:23 without looking at the other side. And that is, here he defines the weightier matters of the law. And he defines this as judgment, mercy, and faith. Now, there's other attributes that I think we can include in that. So while he supports tithing, he also confirms here that we're not to forget the other attributes we find within the word. Now, why does he call these the weightier matters of the law? Why? What makes these the weightier matters? Well, these are the attributes that change who we are on the inside. And that's really what Yahshua wants. He wants us to obey his word. He wants us to obey the commandments. And that's why, you know, I always say that the Sabbath and the feast days, these are really easy things to do. These are really easy commandments to comply with. Those who can't do this, I'm always concerned with, because really that is the easy part. The hard part is changing who we are on the inside. The hard part is removing selfishness. The hard part is making the sacrifice. The hard part is showing love. The hard part is showing compassion. The hard part is showing forgiveness. That is the hard part of what it is to be a believer. So if we can't pay our tithe, if we can't keep the Sabbath, if we can't keep the feast days, we're not doing the other things, I can assure you. We are falling short, because those are the harder things to do. You know, and Brother Michael, he had a special, in the special he spoke about agape or love. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul there, he confirms that we can give our body to be burned. Paul there says we can give everything we have to feed the poor, but he says, if we have not love, it gains us nothing. That's such an important principle to understand, that we must achieve and pursue the weightier matters of the law. But again, for today's message, I want to point out here that Yahshua supported tithing. Yahshua did not reply saying, "Don't worry about it, it's no longer needed." He's saying these things they should be doing. Now, Yahshua was not the only one to support tithing. I believe Paul too supports this in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9. Here's what he says, "For it is written in the law of Moses, that shall not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn. Does Elohim take care for oxen? Or says he altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that plows should plow in hope, and he that threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. For if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we shall reap your carnal things?" So as we see here, the command of not muzzling the ox has a greater meaning, a greater purpose. So what is this greater purpose? Or this purpose applies to those who minister in the word. It applies to the flock of Yahweh. Paul explains this in verse 11. He says that those who sow spiritual things, that they should benefit from those who are receiving those things. In other words, when we preach, when we do the work, when we minister the word, we should be provided by that word. This is a message Paul is conveying here in 1 Corinthians 9. Now, how do you suppose this happens? How do you suppose those who do the work are supported? Well, this happens through the tithe, mainly. Again, everything Yahweh does has a purpose. The tithe in the Old Testament was to support those who ministered in the word. As we saw in Nehemiah, when that tithe was neglected, Yahweh's work went undone because the people had no choice but to go back and work in the fields. It's no different for us in the new. Now, some will try to say that, and I'm not sure how they come up with this rationale. I've never really seen evidence for this, but some makes a claim that the tithe was only for the Old Testament, and that now in the new, we should rely only on free will offerings. You know, I found a trend, again, from those who make this claim. They never give anything. Most people who say that tithing should not be done and that we should rely only on free will offerings, these are the same people that never give anything to the ministry. And in my humble opinion, it's nothing more than an excuse of neglect of their holy obligation. Yahweh gave a way for those who ministered in the Old Testament. It doesn't make any sense to say that that doesn't apply today when the need is so great. Just as the Levites ministered before Yahweh and over the people, those who are ministering today are doing the same thing. The function, the role, the responsibility, the goal, the benefits, they're all the same. There's no difference. There's no change. So as we find here from Paul, those who minister in the word should be provided by that word. As we also saw from Jacob, tithing really is a show of our faith and our trust in our Father in heaven. I want to close with an example we find in the New Testament. I'm sure we all know this example. We're probably familiar with it. Luke 21, verse 1. I believe that this is the best example we find in the New Testament involving sacrifice, involving giving. Luke 21, 1. I'm going to read this from the NIV. It says, "And he looked up, Yahshua saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins." Some translations say mites, two mites. He says, "I tell you the truth," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on." So we find here a widow that literally gave everything she had in her extreme poverty to the temple, to the work of Yahweh. Again, this is equivalent to what we do today through this ministry and others like it. You know, if this poor widow was able to give in her extreme poverty, I believe that each one here can do the same. I don't believe that there's anybody in this room, I don't believe that there's anybody listening, not able to give and not able to do what Yahweh requires us to do within his word. And by the way, I don't believe that it's a coincidence here that a poor widow was the one who gave in this example. Another trend I've noticed is that the more somebody has, the less they're willing to give. It's amazing how that works. It's amazing how many who I would consider poor are the ones that's supporting this ministry. While I know those who have more, they're unwilling to do it. They're unwilling to part with that abundance, with that wealth. Again, I've known believers making less than $400 a month, and they gave that $40 a month as their tithe. Now, somebody making $400 a month or less can give 10%. I know that each person in this room and all those listening can do the same. Now, believe me, one more time when I say that I'm not giving this message to fill the pockets of this ministry. That's not the purpose. That's not the purpose at all. I'm giving this message because tithing is important to Yahweh. It is important to him. It is Kodesh. It is holy to him. When we neglect this responsibility, the Bible is clear. We are robbing what belongs to him. And listen, as a minister here, I don't want to see anybody robbing our Father in heaven. I don't want to see anybody breaking the Ten Commandments, the Eighth Commandment, especially when it involves the worship of our Father in heaven. The Torah says that The tithe is Kodesh. The tithe is holy. The tithe is sacred. The tithe is set apart. We know that tithing was done under both the Levitical and Melchizedek priesthood. Today we are part of that Levitical, that Melchizedek priesthood. We are part of the same priesthood that Abraham was, that Jacob was, and that Yahshua is today. And we know that tithing was given under that priesthood. The same holiness, the same Kodesh that we find in Leviticus applies today. There's no difference between now and then. I give this message again because I care for each person here. And I care for those listening. And again, I want us to do the very best because I know that only when we do our very best, I know that only when we're fully committed, when we're fully following our Father in heaven is when we're going to reap his blessings. And that's the reason I give this message. That's the reason I hope that those here and those abroad are listening and they consider the word spoken. Because if not, if it wasn't important, we wouldn't speak it. If it wasn't in the word, we would let it go. We would never say a thing about it. But it is in the word, and it is holy. It is Kodesh. It is robbing Yahweh when we neglect this responsibility. And when we do this, I do firmly believe, because I've seen so many examples in my 19 years of ministry, when we do this, we will be blessed. There's no doubt in my mind. So I pray that this has been a blessing. I pray that you would consider the words, because the goal of all of us should be to strive to follow Yahweh in every way we can and never, never neglect what is holy to him and always be willing to sacrifice what we must to please him. May Yahweh bless.